Get ready to kick off your week with Weak Sauce. And if you enjoy this show, find more podcasts like it over at amove.tv. Welcome back, everyone. It's Weak Sauce, the show to help you get your week kicked off. Although, I guess we're kicking it off on a Tuesday this week because power is required for podcasts. And that is exactly what Kyle was lacking yesterday around this time.
There is a mountain. The wind blows into it. It splits in two, goes through a gully, and turns into a gale storm and hits our trees in this part of the world.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. But I'm glad it's been restored. I'm glad you are once again part of modern society.
It happens so regularly here that it's just what happens, you know?
Yeah, it is. That is just what happens. But we're here today, Kyle. We are here today despite big corporations' attempt to censor us. The big hot sauce corporations don't want you to hear the spicy offerings that we have for you on this podcast. They don't want you to hear the hot truth that we have to spread. But we are here to soldier on regardless, Kyle. We will not be silenced.
Or we won't be cordially asked in a very kind email. That was also kind of a history lesson.
Yeah, actually, that's another way to put it. That's another way to put it. I like my way better, but sure.
Yeah, well, sure. It's more internet savvy, dramatic.
Yeah. So we have to change our logo, Kyle.
We do. In fact, we have to make sure it is not a diamond. I guess diamonds are always squares on their sides, but make sure it's not a diamond with a circle inside with a red and green kind of theme.
Specifically, a square diamond with double line circles with the broken section of the double circles in the center.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's frankly ingenious. An ingenious way to protect your logo.
And I was warned about this back in the day when I was writing, back in the day being when I moved out here. What was that, 2013 now? Oh, my God. Yeah. So, 2013, I was writing D&D adventures and thinking about putting them up on RPG To Go or Tabletop To Go and all these sort of websites, but I had to take a step back because I was using the D20 Wizards of the Coast system and selling that, so I would have had to do a bunch of convoluted things to make it work in the first place, and I abandoned that little project.
That makes a lot of sense. So in case you were out there and you don't follow me on Twitter and you haven't heard exactly what the hell has been going on, we were hit with a cease and desist from non-specific pepper company. Pepper sauce company.
Yeah.
Pepper sauce company, not a pepper company. But yeah, we were hit with a cease and desist from it's Tabasco.
I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that because they were very cordial about it. It was a warning that we were encroaching on the look of their logo, and it was even a bit of a history lesson, as I said, to, you know, why certain corporations have lost control of their logos over time. It's because they do not reinforce and contact every little person who messes with a version of their logo. And there was even some nice little, you know, copy paste kind of flattery about like, oh, you know, we love that you love our logo so much. We're absolutely flattered that the quality met what you wanted your quality to be on your show. And it was fine and easy enough.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. It's basically set up in a way where if they don't take action on any potential infringements that come their way, they essentially lose their trademark.
Right.
So they're for, so if something is brought to their attention, they're essentially forced to send out a C&D.
Same thing that would have happened to me and my, you know, little RPG writing endeavor I was trying to get going in 2013. You have to defend every single little one that infringes, because if you don't, that's a case against you when they can say, oh, well, in 2013, you didn't defend this one, so why are you coming after us now?
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. And that's what happened. Essentially, a troll in our chat room who was banned on at least 8 different accounts sent our show to Tabasco in an attempt to grief us and was, well, successful.
Yeah, I guess. I wouldn't exactly... Griefing's not the word.
No, I haven't felt this legit in the 7-year history of me doing a podcast.
Exhausted is the word I'd pick. And the photo they used of me in particular was very unflattering, and that was the worst part about it. They grabbed my morning face as an example of what our show looks live, and whew, all right, fair enough. But
I actually talked to a representative at Tabasco. Kyle, did I tell you about this?
Oh no!
Yeah, I called and talked to them because of all of this. There was only one thing that really, frankly, scared the hell out of me, and that was that my home address was at the top of the C&D that they sent to me. Me thinking that it was most likely this troll that kind of put this into motion, I wanted to make sure that this anonymous person did not have personal information about me. And they're like, no, we dug that up on our own accord. And I'm like, all right. So I got to give them props for even taking my call and answering that question.
Yeah. I assume the rest of it was rather cordial.
Oh yeah, it was fine. You know, short of the, you know, someone going along the lines of, you can see how this is infringement, right? And I'm like, no, it's parody, but I don't have the money to fight it in court, so.
Yeah, they want you to move on and agree as fast as possible. I mean, for my purposes, we received that email Friday, and it was the first day off I had had since my car had been declared totaled. So I was mentally just other places.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm not agreeing, but I am moving on. I disagree, but I will move on. We will be changing our logo. I don't know what the hell we're going to change it to. I do rather like the green and leaning into a pinkish orange, which is not a color from them. But I think I may stick with that theme, but I got to figure something out. Whatever the case is, I hope you enjoy our extremely generic logo right now that in no way harbors any ill will. It's definitely not snarky, snide, or meant to thumb my nose in any way, shape, or form.
No, never.
No, definitely not. And I definitely don't want our listeners to tweet at other hot sauce companies using the hashtag hotter than Tabasco to see if other hot sauce companies would like to give away their superior products on this year podcast.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I definitely don't want you to go out and tweet hashtag hotter than Tabasco asking if other hot sauce companies would like to support weak sauce. Definitely don't do that.
Yeah. That's business right there. That's good.
Yeah. But we're legit, Kyle. We're legit. I can't believe this hasn't happened until now.
Finally.
Yeah. I think my favorite suggestion on Twitter was to just pick a new hot sauce brand and make a logo and just see how far down the rabbit hole we can go of just collecting C&Ds like Pokemon cards.
I mean, it seems like if we did a Starbucks one, we'd be pretty safe. But then again, I don't know.
I don't either. I'm pretty sure most of them don't give a crap unless it's specifically sent to them and they have the same setup that Tabasco has. So they're just forced to take action.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to. What happened here.
Yeah, exactly. I would be very down for doing that, by the way. That sounds hilarious. It's just a lot of time on my end making logos.
Yeah. No, they're not easy. And it's not like you know, went in there and erased the words they used, then inserted and like did the, what is it, word art curvature to match the circle.
No. I made a square in Illustrator. I made a couple circles in Illustrator and I picked out some fonts. That's what I did. Not even the same font, by the way. Anyways, So that was fun. That was a really good way to kick off the week. And by good, I mean, as you said, exhausting. It was exhausting. Mm. So, but yeah, other than that, man, what's up with you?
Well, we have declared ourselves carless, and we're going to do that for a bit. I think we are both a little emotionally attached to the previous Fergmobile given to me by my grandfather, and we've got groceries being delivered today. We've got the Lyft app, and that's all you need in a modern world.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, I'm sad to hear that, man. I've never been too emotionally attached to any of my cars, but none of them were given to me by now deceased relatives. So
yeah,
that's something I can definitely understand, and I'm that sucks, man.
But it's a new adventure. The sad part is that it kind of messes with our perspective of what our plan was going to be for the next 5 years or so. It was going to be a bit more remote, middle of nowhere, and now we're thinking, well, you know, maybe we end up back on some sort of line, like a light rail of some kind, and closer to Seattle and the like. But my sister just got that puppy, and you know, we're doing family planning, and I'm thinking to myself, with everything going on in the news right now, like, why aren't we thinking about socializing kids? Like, I think maybe if I move to the middle of nowhere, that would actually be horrible for them, and they would grow up embarrassed and confused, just like I did watching my own dad living in the middle of nowhere in New Mexico. What I need to do is, like a dog park, make sure that I take my children out every day amongst tons of people so they don't bite anybody.
That is my favorite analogy of why you should socialize your children.
It's true. It's bizarre. We went to the vet some weeks ago now, and the veterinarian comes out, and she's real, real quiet and solemn, and she's a large lady. And she says, "Your cat, gosh, is 2 pounds overweight." And she's delivering this like it's a death sentence. And we're like, "Oh, more cat to love." And she's like, "No, this is very serious. And yeah, sure, like he's overweight, like that, you know, let's fix it. He's a house cat. He doesn't go outside." But the parallel of not being able to have this conversation as a human being while the conversation is being had about my cat. Like, let's mix these two together and start kid parks. Like, isn't that what a playground is? But like, they're all doing their own thing. Like, let them mingle.
I'm sorry, I just want to back up to why it would be so horrible that your cat is 2 pounds overweight. Like, I'm no vet. I have an overweight cat. And we've tried everything, and that's just how it's going to be.
It's the approach of this particular veterinary office. I've seen them do it to dogs, and in particular, this one was on its side on the floor, breathing heavy like a pug, but it was a full blown mastiff, and just
see, that's when I feel like what you just described would be an appropriate response.
Right. You got a 17-pound cat. It weighs 19 pounds. I understand the, like, percents are pretty intense there, but he's still a big cat. He's not bursting at the seams. And then there's, like, this dying sausage on the ground, and they're still delivering it with the same, like, "Oh, you poor boy." And there's no, like, threat to the owners, which is the weirdest part. Like, "Yeah, you just eat too much, don't you? It's on your..." Like, no. The worst part is... she called us millennials, honestly, was that she was like, "And you millennials really like your animals, don't you?" And I'm like, "Oh, thanks for that." I feel like doing the car shopping, I've been receiving millennial training back to my face. And it's been rough.
I'm sorry. How has your car? I am one of those weird people that really enjoys car shopping. But I've also been lucky enough not to be in the position where I had no car and was then car shopping. I've always been car shopping when I don't need a car, when I want a car. It's just like, well, our car is getting old. It's probably time to pull the trigger before it's worth absolutely nothing. Let's start this process. And that's kind of relaxing because you can always just tell them, "Well, no, my car still works. I'm not in a dire rush," and just walk away. Yeah.
And that may be it, that we're in a transportation town, you know, being on the other side of the water from Seattle. Lots of crazy people get up every single day and drive 2 hours into the city and drive back home. So definitely maybe a buyer's market, as well as, you know, you kind of talked about that the loan rates when we were discussing off air were kind of astronomical. And
yeah, from what you told me, they're absolutely insane. You know, without getting too specific, we have two cars, both have a portion financed, and our interest rates have been fantastic. And you're saying you were hearing up in the upper 5%.
9%.
9%. What? Yeah, holy hell.
What they started us at. And then we're like, okay, well, we have good credit. Can we work that down? He's like, you know, oh, maybe with that credit, we can give you 5. And it's, wait, what? Like, we were seeing the same chain.
Yeah, I mean, in that is a big drop, albeit, but still, that's still a relatively high interest rate. I mean, yeah, this is, you know, kind of dull. It's funny, the day after I talked to you about that, I saw like Toyota was offering a 0.9% interest rate. There's always like a million clauses with that, but whatever the case is, I was like, oh, well, maybe things aren't as bad as I thought. I mean, the market took a huge dive, and that usually has a negative effect on interest rates, no matter what market you're looking in. Had we closed a day later on our house, it would have been horrible.
Yeah,
it was the day after election, and we got an email from our the guy that was helping us with finance, and it was just like, "Boy, are you guys lucky you closed yesterday?"
That's not lucky. These are lives at stake. Like that's the weird thing about it. And I think in this particular case, because of the transient nature of this area, like they had cars and they were used, and you know, multiple places. You can walk away today. And that was kind of the whole thing. I felt like I was snapping my Jeffersons and being like, oh, my good friend, Honest Abe, perhaps. And they're like, pay full price, but.
Yeah, I'm so not used to that. I have never purchased a car where there was not haggling. I have never purchased a car where they didn't drop the price at least a little bit. Also, the one time I had a big stack of cash to go buy a car with, which was when I wrecked my car. I was responsible for it, and I'm in no way insinuating that you were responsible for wrecking yours. That was the easiest buying experience of my life because I had a big chunk of cash, and you're in the same boat, and I cannot believe the experience that you're having.
Yeah, they are unmoved, entirely unmoved by my ability to, or was, because we've now given up and going to do kind of the modern Seattleite thing and go carless again, entirely unmoved by my ability to pay cash, and in fact, it was frightening. Like I was, like I had gone forward in time, and I was some sort of visitor from the 80s with all the knowledge from my dad's and our collective wisdom. And I'm walking in being like, so what's the best price you can offer on me on this? And they're like, what the hell are you even talking about, boy?
That is surprising. Well, here, you're coming to Florida soon. Just to tack 3 days onto your trip and just plan to buy a car here and drive it back.
There we go. Perfect.
Yeah, I am. Were you going to name? Last question. Were you going to name brand dealerships?
We went to a few dealerships and a couple of Yuke's Cars lots. We looked at some Craigslist stuff, but that always got kind of weird.
Oh, I don't like. Yeah, yeah. I mean, unless you're looking for something very specific and you know what to check for, I don't go down that route.
We looked across the border because, yeah, it's cheaper in Oregon because the sales tax up here. But we looked at everything out right now, and we're going to delivery groceries today. Let's see how it goes. I mean, we're doing a modern thing. We're taking the car insurance and we are cutting it, and we're taking the gas, and we're saying that is X amount of money each month. Let's use that to commute.
Well, Kyle, let me tell you about HelloFresh.com/TAC.
All right.
Go check that out. keep me abreast of the situation. I'm always interested in anything involving cars, including living without them. So I had a very kind of pedestrian weekend. I raided Ulduar Sunday night in World of Warcraft.
It's on the time walking right now, right?
It was. I believe it today's Tuesday, so it should be over. Sadly, it only runs for a week. I really think they should do time walking for two. But Kyle, I've spent the last however many years it's been since Wrath, saying that Ulduar is the best raid they ever did. And I think it still is. It holds up, man. It really holds up.
Nice.
It is not anything from vanilla they have given back to us. You remember when they brought back Molten Core and we all went in there and were like, oh, this is really bad.
Yeah. Particularly the trash was just dull. Mm-hmm. But it was the same way in like Serpent Shrine and such.
It was also just an ugly dungeon. It's just all one brown tunnel.
Yeah. Yeah, like when they used to build Batman caves and movie theaters out of trash bags.
I didn't know that was a thing, but I...
No? You never went to one of those?
No, I have... the visual is immediate, though. I can picture it in my head.
Yeah. You know, school haunted house.
Yeah. Huh. That's really cool. Yeah, but yeah, I think that raid really holds up. I was surprised, and it was kind of difficult in places. We had to take two or three attempts on a couple bosses.
Mm, that's awesome. So how does it update? Like, what's its
It scales algorithm? Your entire raid down.
Oh,
yeah. It brings you all down, but then the loot it drops is the loot from Ulduar, but it's scaled up to, I think it was scaling up to item level 930.
That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, it's it was cool. I did this a few months back with Black Temple, which was also really neat. That was the first time I had done a time walking raid, and if I could be mistaken, but I think like that might have been the first one they did. But whatever the case is, that was really sweet.
That's cool tech. That's interesting. I mean, are you also kind of sitting on the rocket that might be Warcraft 3 remastered?
Oh, you mean like the hopeful hype train?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm totally on that, man. Yeah, you heard about that, right? That they're apparently a bunch of Warcraft 3 streamers are getting invited to some super secret event.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There's also, I mean, maybe this guy named Dustin Browder who disappeared. There's also these two casters, Gillyweed and Dread, who have been taking it easy all season. Seems like there might be a new game.
Maybe. Or a new old game.
A new old game, which hopefully has the features, including the multi-core kind of stuff. But, ooh, man, that conversation's kind of creepy when you start going there, huh?
How's it creepy? I'm kind of excited about it, although I do want to know where the hell Dread has been. I miss him.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's creepy because if you add in, you know, reconnectability better than the current system, you add cores and splitting them across multiple cores so streamers can play the game without multiple computers running the stream, you've got a pretty big exodus from Heroes of the Storm.
That is concerning, but I want to play a MOBA. I don't want to play an RTS.
Totally. They're two different things. And, you know, granted, you know, Warcraft 3 was like, why do we make armies? The heroes are the fun parts. Let's play Dota. But so it became that eventually in the first place. But it'll be interesting.
It will be. Which isn't to say I don't want to play Warcraft 3 again. Certainly a remastered version. It's one of my favorite games ever. But competitive RTSs are not where I want to spend my time.
They're hard.
They're extremely hard. The time investment to noticeable improvement is skewed the furthest from any game I think you can play.
Yeah, and right now I'm really watching my video game skills slip away during a time when, you know, my life was needing other attentions.
I have been watching my own skills improve drastically in PUBG, and it's really cool.
That's awesome. Yeah, I've been seeing you in there quite a bit recently.
Yeah, it's just that seems to be where all my friends went. So I always have that social game where I get on, I'm like, who's online? And it's like, oh, so-and-so, and right now it's PUBG, so that's where I'm getting pulled.
I am still doing Divinity. I can't believe that I am. It's not over. I am currently, as the server of our four-man co-op, at 110 hours. And my players, the Jeff, who shows up, busy man, just to play and then leaves right afterwards, is at 80 hours.
Damn.
And we're still not done, and they keep advancing the darn story and making it more complicated.
That's impressive. Are you still enjoying it? You almost sound winded. Yes.
No, imagine reading a really good book, but you can't grab the end of it. You have no idea when it's coming to a close. I know somewhere around, we're level 20, I know somewhere around 25, like XP kind of dries up, and that might be max level. But beyond that, I simply don't know. So it's this weird sort of like, it's a frustration, but at the same time, it's amazing. It's just like, just any game you would marathon by yourself. Something that you would make yourself physically ill by missing sleep and food to complete so you can get back to your life. But I'm playing it with three other people involved, so we have to schedule it in 6-hour blocks on the weekend.
Yeah, that's
torturous.
That is intense, man. That is intense. And you know, I mean, you don't strike me as the kind of person that plays for leveling up anyway or hitting max level. You're there for to just see where it goes.
Yeah.
To feed the beast, as it were.
That was great. I mean, we walked into a house this weekend and accused someone of being a god, and they were, and we fought them. Like, it was great.
I love that. I love that that's a thing. It is a very cool game. I wish I had more time to play. And the deeper you get into it, the more and more I'm like, yeah, I'm never going to finish this game, so why start? Why really commit to it?
That's the other thing about it, right? Like, I'm saying, like, man, you're 80 hours in. It's not over yet. And we're doing co-op. So when I enter a room, there are three other very eager individuals, particularly John. It's just, I mean, he plays a World of Warcraft rogue. And boy, does he roleplay. Like, he is gone. And those pockets on everybody are picked. And before you know it, you're running away because you're under arrest. Like, but that's the thing. Like, I walk into a room and I don't really care about loot. We've played Diablo 3 together. I'll just walk by boxes. Plus, it's randomly generated in those boxes. So I'm like, there'll be other boxes. Don't open them. And then they won't bother you with their lack of items or their wealth of items.
Schrodinger's Diablo 2 loot.
Exactly. So in Divinity, when I enter a room, I'm sitting there going, puzzles, lore. And I've got, you know, I've got Kristen being my seeing eye dyslexic dog. And I'm going, Kristen, what's this book saying? She's like, oh, she reads the books, and John's looting this over there, and Jeff's over here opening traps, and like, we're moving probably at like 3 times the speed of a normal person, and we don't have companion quests. Like, my fellow co-op players do not give me back more things to do.
Yeah, and yet, still 80 plus hours. Holy hell. Man, that's that. I mean, again, it's just an impressive game that blows my mind, and I wish I could, move myself into a pocket universe where time moves slower, and just play the whole game and then come back out and resume my life.
I mean, honestly, dude, give me a year after we beat this, and I might want to go around again. There's higher difficulties. There's classes I'd like to try out.
I would go through it with you, sir.
Awesome. Other than that, I've only got two left on kobolds, so that's only warrior and warlock of all darn it things. Warlock being my main deck, I can't beat that darn guy.
Oh, of doing the dungeon runs.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And I finally got frustrated enough this week that I picked up Slay the Spire. It's sitting right there on Steam. It's been sitting there forever on the top sales. It looks like butt in pictures. Like, it, like paper craft.
Oh, boy, this does look like butt.
Yeah, like you're talking like Newgrounds level graphics.
But is it a fun game?
Like, deck building combat is actually amazing. And just like a good game that looks like butt, your imagination starts to take over and place better graphics on top of it. So you're looking at, you know, let's say a butt caterpillar that you're battling. And that caterpillar next you fight a rat, and it's got a mushroom growing out of its back. And you're like, oh, that's kind of interesting, a fungus rat. And then you fight a rat golem made of other rats, and you're like, wow, what an interesting evolution. I mean, it still looks like butt, but I understand how we got here.
Yeah, no, you're you're touching on something, right? Which is just kind of the ability to put visuals aside when the mechanics and also the world building are compelling. I mean, this is what has made me get through what Bethesda games I have made it through, because I always get in and I'm like, ooh, this looks suspect. But then I also start playing in my own imagination a little bit more and I get really invested in the world.
I think a lot of people are hoping that with the success of his alpha, that he will be redoing the art. I don't know if it needs it, though. Honestly, I'd really recommend this game to anybody who's enjoyed the dungeon runs in Hearthstone.
Cool. I will probably not check it out.
But because you're not one of those that enjoyed it?
No, I like the dungeon run, but it, as a, you know, kind of one-off, like, this was fun, I'm not returning it type of thing. Mm. Or returning to it. This isn't, I'm not bringing it back to Blockbuster or something.
I would account this more towards Faster Than Light is actually a pretty good analogy.
Yeah, that it's funny you're bringing that up, because you made me think that they have Into the Breach coming out soon. And that's the game I am just waiting for. I am just holding my breath, which is it this week? No, it's a week from today. Next Tuesday, Into the Breach releases, and I'm very excited to play that game.
Call to Battle?
Hmm?
A tactical role-playing game?
What are you talking about?
Into the Breach?
Yeah, Into the Breach is the next game from Subset Games, who made FTL.
Oh!
Yeah, it's a grid-based strategy game.
Okay, cool. I was Into the Breach. What the heck? It looked like some sort of inspirational speech. Oh, yes, I have looked at this. This reminds me a lot of ground combat in a lot of those space, what they called, 4X games.
Oh, I don't know. I always call them tactics games. Like, it kind of looks like Final Fantasy Tactics to me. But it's kind of roguelike, like FTL. Like, you die, you start over again, and just keep trying.
Interesting.
I really can't wait to play it. FTL is one of my favorite games. And I will play anything the Subset makes from here on out.
Oh my goodness, it's kind of Evangelion-influenced. Aliens attack your city, and you deploy your robots and whatnot to defend them.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yep.
Oh, and the buildings lose power, grid failure, what? Mm-hmm. Huh.
Yeah.
Interested to know where that factor is. Like, for me, Faster Than Light was okay. It was an okay tactic game, but then I had to manage the air. And particularly when I opened the doors to the outside of space to suffocate several individuals on my ship, that's where I went, oh my God. And then I had to divert power to the engines while leaving my engines sitting still so I had less dodge. And I went, oh, I get it. There's not enough games where we get to divert power to X direction on the shield.
Yep. Yeah. That was a cut. Man, the first time that I killed a ship intruder by opening up a door and suffocating them. Oh, I was in.
Yeah.
Opening up an airlock, I guess. But yeah, you get the point. Also putting out fires that way. Like, basically oxygen management really sold me on that game.
Yeah, that was, I think, I know that's also like the big fear maybe that space has for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't want to suffocate. No one wants to die that way.
No one wants to be putting out the window like Aliens 4.
I like Aliens 4, man. That movie gets a bum rap.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm very much looking forward to that. This is the first week we haven't had really just a cavalcade of trailers to discuss. We did get a new Ready Player One trailer, and I have finished reading the book.
How was it?
I really enjoyed it. I went in with a vendetta, man. I don't know why, but I just had it in my head that I was going to hate this book. And I know I kind of talked, I can't remember now if I was talking to you or talking, I think I was talking to Kristen about it, how some of the ways that characters talk to each other, including unironic use of the word noob in human-to-human conversation, kind of bothered me, but damn it, it's just a fun book, and it has really great world building.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I saw the new trailer as well. I get scared when references get a little heavy because it just starts to feel like Kingdom Hearts to me. And I know that's also kind of a volatile topic because a lot of people like it, a lot of people hate it. For me, it's that...
I love it. I love it, for the record.
Yeah. There's parts of it I really enjoyed. The combat, though, was awful, and the controls in general, and finding your way to hit things was just totally gross.
Especially in the first one. The first one was the one where you had to rotate the camera with the shoulder buttons, right? Like, it was the worst thing ever.
And they put in platforming. Like Half-Life has platforming, and that's a stretch. But this in third person was just... It reminded me of platforming in Phantom Menace, the computer game. Like,
oh, God. Yeah, I didn't have a computer that I could rent at the time, but I remember playing it over at my buddy's house. And boy, that game was rough.
Yeah. References... It just make it weird, particularly because they combine the Final Fantasy characters and then the Disney characters. I'm way more stoked on the Disney characters than I am these Final
Me too. Like, I don't like Final Fantasy, but I love Kingdom Hearts. Although the Final Fantasy references aren't completely lost on me. Obviously, I know enough through osmosis to, like, understand why Cloud fighting with Squall should be a badass combination. But... Yeah, it doesn't resonate with me as much as, oh my God, I am in the Nightmare Before Christmas. Like, that's
right.
Yeah, it's not the same. But back to the Ready Player One trailer. That's part of the thing I was surprised that the book sold me on so well. Like, it is a linchpin of the world building is 80s references. Like, whether it's old arcades or movies or music, just because of the nature of, and this is explained in the opening pages of the book. That the guy that basically created the game that they all play, that's when he grew up.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So it is like it's VR chat, basically. It's an MMO where you upload your own models.
It's everything. It's every game you could ever think to play, because the company that made it eventually got so big, they literally just started licensing game worlds from other game studios. So like Azeroth exists within this game. You can just fly there in your spaceship.
Okay, so yeah, that's a perfectly fine dystopian modern kind of idea that we can all get behind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it is definitely dystopian. But yeah, that trailer, man. Whoo, that trailer had some spoilers. Unless Mr. Steven Spielberg is really reorganizing the sequence of events in that book, and it looks like to me he is reorganizing the sequence of events in that book quite a bit, and I don't know how I feel about that.
Interesting.
And this is why I think I should probably just not read books before I see a movie.
For the most part, it's not usually the best idea to enjoy the movie at its fullest, but are you surprised? Do you feel like it needs that kind of updating structure change?
No, I actually really, really enjoyed the structure of the book, and because of the sequence of events, it makes multiple reveals at the end of the book feel like pretty strong payoffs. And it looks to me like just from looking at the trailer, it looks to me like a lot of that is going to be established very early on in the movie as opposed to revealed much later on.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Confused characters always works better in books. And it's funny when you watch some movies and they're trying to have that sense of discovery and you're just like, no, just get it over with. Like in a book, like Harry Potter, they can string me along for two whole chapters of words like Harry Potter finally figured it out. He finally knew what it was for. He took to the bedroom and dove under his chest. What is it, says Ron. Oh my God, says Hermione. And in those environments, you aren't like, just tell me what the frick is wrong. Like, what are you looking for? What do you remember?
Yep.
But when they pull that off in a movie, you're just like, stop wasting my damn time. This is a visual medium.
I think that's fair. And I will say, I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt because I experienced Jurassic Park in the opposite order. I saw the movie long before I read the book, and I enjoy them both massively. It's one of my favorite movies, and it's one of my favorite books, and they could not be more different from one another. Like, the characters are there; they're more or less the same characters, But the overall plot and everything that happens is completely different. So,
yeah,
that's kind of why I'm sitting here being like, well, I'm just going to try and go into it now without having seen or have thinking about the book as much. Because Hunger Games, I read the books before I saw the movies, and the books actually improve the movies, in my opinion, because the movies were pretty faithful to the books, but it just leaves out all of the inner monologue because it's a movie. Right. So I thought that that helped. So Ready Player One will be interesting. I don't know. It looks fun, whatever the case is.
It's just, it's such a weird, crazy world where we do 80s references and then we throw in Overwatch. Like, I just want to give things time to become cultural icons.
Yeah, that's where I see a lot of people, and it's even in the chat room right now, like kind of the crux of their pushback against Ready Player One. They're like, oh, there's all these modern video game characters in it, and that's not mentioned in the book at all. Yes, that's technically true, but at the end of the day, it's really, the point to me is just that in this world, literally anything can exist. So why not throw in some Easter eggs? There's not, I guarantee you, I could be wrong, but I am going to stand my foot down. I'm like, I guarantee you, there's not a major plot point about Tracer being in this movie. It's just an Easter egg.
Sure.
And I don't give a shit about Easter eggs. It's fine. It's fun. The background of Wreck-It Ralph when Sonic hits someone else and rings come out, that's fine. I got a little laugh and we moved on. The crux of the plot of that film had nothing to do with any of the additional video game characters.
Exactly. The made-up characters in Wreck-It Ralph carried the whole film, including their made-up Candyland game. And that was what made that an enjoyable movie time after time. There are many movies that are just full of awful references, and that would be the scary part here.
Yeah. So I don't know. That or Blizzard threw a lot of money at this movie, and I'm going to be proven wrong. But I'm going to be really mad if it makes the movie worse. I don't like being
mad at
Blizzard.
Tell me about Sea of Thieves.
Oh, let me tell you about Sea of Thieves, Kyle. Let me tell you about... Oh, dude, I'm over the moon. I'm over the moon for this game. Yeah, yeah. I played in the stress test this past weekend. If you pre-ordered, you got to play in it. And I was like, I'm not going to pre-order. But everyone who played the beta like a week ago just didn't have enough nice things to say about it. And I've always wanted an open-world pirate game. So I was like, F it. I'll give them my money. I like Rare. I want to support them. So I pre-ordered the game, got into the stress test this weekend, and that game, it is fun. It is just a lot of fun. It is charming as hell. And damn those water physics.
So what's the gameplay loop here? It looks like Rust to me, or The Forest, or need I go on?
There's only one faction in the beta of, I believe, the three that will be there at launch, but the factions are kind of what spur you onto your adventures. So in the beta, there's only the gold, I forget, it's like gold hunters or something of that nature, but it's a gold faction. All they're interested in is treasure. So you get little basically maps or hints on parchment from them, and then you go off to solve it and find the treasure, bring it back, you give it to them, they give you a chunk of gold, so on and so forth.
And then your gold is used for
All sorts of things. New guns, better swords, you could just get sweet ass costumes, you can customize your ship, better stuff for your ship, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so if I were to invest a bunch, you know, we do a bunch of quests and then we upgrade our ship and someone runs a barrel into the bottom, like I've seen on the YouTubes and Twitters and whatnot, and blows up my ship, does my ship respawn?
That's what I'm unclear about. Like, I don't know how much you lose when your ship dies, because in the beta I could just leave the game, load back in with essentially a fresh pirate, but because it was only the weekend, there was only so much progression to be made.
Yeah.
So lasting progression in this game is a bit of a mystery for me, and I'll admit I haven't done a lot of research. I just went in and played what was there to be played.
I mean, it looks like a fascinating game, and I love the idea. I love the idea of Rust. Like, Ark Survival. Mm-hmm. Like, I've always wanted to play those sort of games. I don't want to be griefed. I don't want to lose my stuff wrongfully. I don't want to have to. I don't want to have to check in on a video game for like security reasons to make sure my stuff's okay or start some sort of guard rotation. Like, I'm 30. That's a college activity.
Yeah, as far as I know, your character doesn't exist in game when you're logged out. And I don't know about your ship, but I would assume that it doesn't as well. That's kind of the vibe I got. We only ran into two ships in the course of an almost 3-hour play session. Hmm. Only one of them we interacted with. We had a really fun interaction running into just another crew that had pulled up to the same island we were trying to find treasure on.
Was it a standoff?
I thought it was. And my buddy Siv, who's our raid leader in World of Warcraft, he got ahead of me. And then our buddy was bugging out because the servers were a little overloaded because it's a stress test. And he could just not get to the island. So he was basically just hanging out on the boat waiting for us to get back with treasure chests. And so Siv got away from me. And then I hear him in chat talking to another pirate, basically saying, "Hey, man, we mean you no harm." And I'm like, oh, God, Siv's going to die. So I'm like running as fast as I can to try and catch up to him. And I come around the corner and him and this other random pirate player that he found out in the world have their accordions out and they're playing music together and dancing.
Oh, well, that's fantastic.
Yes, it was very charming. It reminded me very much of early World of Warcraft when I know nothing about this world, how to interact with other players, and just seeing weird shit.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's it was big, like the map that we could explore, and apparently it's only a quarter of the playable world when it launches. So I'm impressed. I think I'm gonna get my $60 out of this game. I will say I'm cautiously optimistic for what I think this came up between Joss and I on the outro of Embrace the Spoilers yesterday. I'm cautiously optimistic for the legs on this game. I don't know how long I'm going to be able to convince my friends to all get on and pilot a ship with me, because you need your friends to adjust the sails while someone drives, while someone looks at where you're going, because when you're behind the wheel, you're basically looking at giant sails that are obscuring your vision.
Like in real life.
Yeah, yeah. And it is really fun, actually. I didn't think that was going to be compelling, and I thought I would get really old really fast, but if you want the fantasy of you and all your buddies on the same ship traveling is a large crux of the game. You got to give everyone something to do or it's going to be really boring for everyone that isn't driving the ship.
So they kind of came up with activities that keep that.
Right, right. Like you can see the wind like kind of through animated contrails almost, like so the direction it's going. So that gives whoever's manning sails, which can be multiple players, they without even talking to anyone else, they can kind of figure out where they need to adjust the sails. So it's this little mini game. But yeah, it was just really fun. Like we ended up in a storm and the waves were absolutely insane, and the storm causes your hull to fill with water, so your crew has to take turns bailing out the bottom of the ship while also still adjusting the sails if they need to.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, not to mention if we didn't, but I would assume if you came across another ship that wanted to throw down in the middle of that, things would probably get very exciting very quick.
Well, I'm very interested in games like this right now because of Divinity. Like, this is an experience that I couldn't have without the help of my friends. And we're coming to the end, obviously. I'm curious what would be our next adventure. And I want to do something that I couldn't play by myself. Like, we thought about doing Diablo 2. Just for a fun run, and because I love it and I want to experience again. But I realized the other night that I've never played past Act 2 by myself. I've always started up by myself, then played with a bunch of friends, or even they'd be like, "Oh, you played Diablo 2? I'll meet your level, stop playing." And then we meet up and then we play through the game again. So it's been really nice to play through that solo. I've been kind of out of options. So I've been looking at things like, I mean, Sea of Thieves, like all these survival games. I even looked up Black Desert and some of its new forays into MMO.
Territory. Oh, yeah. Dude, Black Desert has tempted me multiple times to go and give it a shot.
It's got some cute things. Like, I love the idea that your professions keep you an active NPC in the world when you're gone.
Yeah.
And that makes the world feel more populated. I don't like the combat look, though, and that's what's ultimately the game, and I didn't invest myself.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I mean, so my 3-hour review of an unfinished version of Sea of Thieves is that it's awesome.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's really good. And as someone who has spent a lot of time on, like, out in the salt water, has been on boats and shit, man, they nail it. They really nail that feeling.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I dig it, man. I dig it. So, well, let's take some questions before we wrap this up, shall we?
Sounds good.
All right. Took these from Twitter. You can tweet at us at Garrett Art or at Kyle Ferguson, or write in amovetv@gmail.com. At TrueVillainManny asked, what would be the best advice you can give anyone trying to start out in podcasting? Ah, the age-old question of other podcasters.
Yeah, it takes age, too, which is the tough part about it. Not necessarily like a maturity, more just years in the business. If you want to call it a business at first... I mean, basically just, I'd say the toughest part is proving your dedication to your audience that you exist and will continue to exist and you're worth the effort of investing into.
Yeah, yeah. My advice has always been just start doing it and keep doing it. And the big thing is set a schedule and adhere to that schedule no matter what else happens. Albeit, if power is not there on Monday, you might need to shift a day.
Right, but we are... present enough on the internet that sort of schedule chain up isn't a big deal.
Right. But if that had happened multiple times in the course of like the first 10 episodes of StarCast, it would have been a pretty big issue.
Because nobody else can go online, check your name and say, what? Okay, so they're missing shows. They can't handle a basic once a week schedule. And this is the only show they do. I'm out.
Yeah. It's, yeah, you just need to, you need to treat it like a job, even though you should have in your head that it's a hobby when you get started.
Because beyond that, I think it's all kind of just evolves by itself. It's like we talked about earlier with dog parks. You know, I mean, you're becoming socialized.
Yeah.
You're going to learn your radio voice over time, and that's going to take practice. You're going to learn your flow with your co-hosts over time.
There's a lot to learn from... publishing imperfection and realizing that there will be another episode next week. So if you put out your first episode, you're like, oh man, this, that, and the other could have been better. Instead of re-recording, post it and just take those lessons you learned into your next episode. And when that next episode you do it and you're like, oh, I could have done this, that, and the other better, just post that episode and take it into the following week. Learn as you go, learn from doing. Don't sit there and noodle. Don't sit there and perfect. And also the truth is, if you're just starting out, no one's going to hear your first episode anyway.
Yeah, and that can be a comforting thought, too. I mean, I'm making these training videos for Heroes of the Storm right now, and I don't have a lot of editing experience. I have a lot of experience saying these words. They are words I've certainly repeated massive amounts of times over many, many lessons. But getting AI Sonya to do what I want her to do so I can show the counteraction to it doesn't exactly work out. And all those little caveats that you know are going to be brought up in the YouTube, you know, comment section... you have to ignore them because you have to put out that product. And that I think is the toughest part and where a lot of people stop podcasting or at least progressing their podcasting is they reach a level where, you know, maybe you can make money, but, or maybe you just have a big enough audience that you consider important and you start debating, is what you're doing good enough? And nothing's ever done. And that was the lesson I took from painting, learning painting. The best artists, like I can open my D&D books right now and find a great painting by the same artist who does this total crap painting earlier in the book. And I just wonder, how can these two be the same people? Time. This one, he had a week, and this one, he had a month. And it's just perfecting and adding more strokes that eventually build a greater picture. But it's a weekly podcast, and that kind of makes it easier in that way. You press record, you do it in an hour, and that's the product. It's done. Post it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't really have much else. I mean, like I've been talking to my brother. My brother recently was like, oh, I want a podcast. And he's very focused on the technical side and the gear side, and I'm just trying to beat into his head that the gear is not as important. Yeah, so I will turn off a podcast immediately if it sounds bad. But if you have no experience doing it and you have a great microphone, it's probably still going to sound bad, but not in the audio portion of it. So I think it's more important to just start honing your voice and honing your conversation between you and whoever else may be on the show.
Yeah, it's a feeling that I didn't learn directly from my parents. I actually learned it from my father-in-law watching the way he works since college when I met Kristen. He has always needed a drawing desk to draw. And every time he gets into a new hobby, he invests fully in it. And by the time he's done investing, he's bored already. So he kind of moves on after that. If he had just sat with a notepad on the couch and drawn and learned to draw that way rather than getting all the videos first and actually finding a passion and a schedule for it, he would have completed his task.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. But just get started and stick to whatever schedule you set for yourself. I would recommend weekly.
It's a good one.
Yeah. At Randerson asks, where did the A move name come from? It's another one we get all the time. attack move commands and RTSs, specifically StarCraft. We were hard into StarCast at the time when we kind of decided to, well, realize I had multiple podcasts and wanted to throw them all on one website.
And that's it.
Yeah.
A move attack.
Yep. And A move was available.
I think it's still a great one.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. I like it less than I did then, but I still like it. As opposed to like my solo show where I'm just like, this name is stupid and has nothing to do with anything. I need to change it.
I think it'll still exist and nobody's making any moves on the keyboard being changed out.
No, it's still going to be a thing, I think. I mean, it's a thing in Heroes, so it kind of stuck. And then finally, at BioImportance asks, what is the full story of how you two met? We get this one a lot. We're hitting today's the greatest hits on the questions.
Yes, we're busting out the regulars.
Yeah, yeah. How did we meet, Kyle?
Well,
because you came to me.
I did. I was in college in Tallahassee, and I actually was roommates with your childhood friend who does the music for our shows, Brian. I, unlike Brian, was not a C student and aspired to A's. And on a spring break trip, I believe, I had just had my midterms.
I'm sorry, did you just throw Brian under the bus as a C student?
I did. But he'd happily admit it because he was more focused on his social life and the experience of college than getting the good grades. And granted, you know, he didn't really care about those sort of achievements. So I say it because I was a little frustrated being in college because I was sitting in my room studying and they were playing Super Smash Bros. And I really wanted to be playing Super Smash Bros. The whole time, but I kept studying. At any rate, I'm exhausted after midterms. This is my excuse. And we head over to visit one of Brian's friends. And Florida is burning hot outside and freezing cold inside. And over the course of this Sarasota trip where I'm being frozen, heated, I exhausted. And so we enter this man's house, and I pass out on his floor, and we did not interact in the least.
No, and that floor was mine, and I was that man in that house. And basically, Kyle came in, Brian introduces us, I'm like, hey, man. He's like, hey. And I'm sitting there playing Lost Planet on the Xbox 360.
Not a good first impression.
Brian gets really interested in it, so I'm explaining the game to Brian. Brian's kind of trying out the game, and over the course of 5 minutes, probably, you're just asleep on the floor.
Yeah.
Yep. And that was it. That was our entire first interaction. I don't even remember how you woke up or left. I just know eventually that must have happened because you didn't stay there for the rest of eternity. And after college, you and I started talking over Skype.
There was one slightly reinforcing event that happened where I ended up at your house for a party where you have a rock band party and I sang Metallica.
Oh, God, I don't remember this at all.
No, yeah, we didn't acknowledge that we were previously the sleepers on the floors and the players of Lost Planet there. Both of us embarrassed by our two activities, I'm sure.
Gotcha. Yeah, we had a lot of rock band parties back in the day, so
I was at one of them,
yeah,
and I sang Metallica.
Cool. I'm really mad that I don't remember this. I'm angry.
I think subconsciously it made that first connection.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah, no, because I forget. I think, again, Brian kind of played internet matchmaker, and it was like, oh, you're two creative people that horribly need an outlet because you move to expensive cities and have no offers. So we just kind of started brainstorming together on Skype about a ton of different things that never saw the light of day and never became anything. And then one day decided to try podcasting together.
Basically, what can two people create and follow through with and produce fully? And that was not a board game. That certainly was not a video game as we tried. It ended up being a podcast about a video game.
I like to think, if I had to break this down into a TLDR, we are two people that were really sick of being the person on the science project doing all the work.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And same thing happens at work for me. Like, I remember working at that barista job, and they're like, do you want to be manager? I'm like, no, I'm just so bored. Like, do you want to take over? Like, you're always cleaning. Like, you're such a great worker. I'm like, no, I'm not. I am bored out of my mind. That's why I'm scrubbing the whole store.
That's funny. I never really even thought of made that connection. But yeah, I kind of always got that too. Like, oh man, Garrett's a good employee. He must really want to rise up. And I'm like, no, I just really want the hours to go by so I can go home.
Yep.
Oh man, that's funny. I distinctly remember working a commercial shoot in L.A. I got hooked up with these weird, like maybe once a month, it'd be like a 2-day gig. But the first time I went out to one, someone was doing basically my friend a solid and bringing me out for one day and had no intention of bringing me back the next. And they basically told another person to hit the road because I had more hustle.
It's a good thing to have.
Yeah, that was interesting. I never had that happen before. Like, I literally watched it happen. Like, one guy comes up like, hey, you need me tomorrow? The guy's like, nope, you're good. Thanks. Here's your check. And then he's like, Garrett, see you tomorrow. I'm like, oh, my nice. God. And that was a much, much needed paycheck at the time. Rent is expensive in Southern California.
And it was in Chicago as well.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's basically it, man. Real random happenstance that we happen to be in each other's lives.
Yep. Very much similar situations looking to do more efficient work. As I think what combined us overall, the hourly world is inefficient and it's difficult when you're a self-motivated person to sit there and watch a meeting happen. And meetings are the worst. They get nothing done. And you know this. And if you dodged the meeting and got the PowerPoint bullets, you'd be better off. But that's how work goes in America.
All I really ever wanted was to be in a position where I just had to put in the amount of time required, like the amount of time to get something done and no more, no less.
Yeah. Decided by yourself. I mean, right. If you want to stay up all night making that thing better, that's your prerogative. You can do that.
Yeah. And I have absolutely done just that. I've definitely put more time into this than I have into anything else. But it just feels nice to not have to be a committee.
Or, you know, hide your chat windows because everybody's bored out of their mind.
that's the other thing. I mean, my last two day jobs were pretty chill with me listening to podcasts while I worked, but yeah, it's nice to just like, I'm just going to have a Twitch stream up while I work today. Yada, 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 da, 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 da. But nice perks of the job, right? There's definitely horrendous anxiety that comes with that as well. And we'll discuss that on another day.
Very much so.
But right now, let's keep the rose-colored glasses on and bring this episode home. Yeah, I think that's going to wrap it up for this episode. So thanks for those questions. Keep them coming. You can tweet at us at Garrett Art or at Kyle Ferguson if you have questions for Weak Sauce, or write in at amovetv, AMOVETV at gmail.com and put Weak Sauce somewhere in the subject line so I know it's for this show. But before we go, Kyle, you do other things like Divinity streams and whatnot. Where can people find that?
You can find those over at twitch.tv/KyleFerguson. But this week, because I always forget it because it's on the weekend and I'm climbing to get there, There Will Be Dungeons hit its fourth episode. It is amazingly fun. I love Vorel the Lizardman, and I hope you all check it out. It's a D&D 5th edition podcast over on the Frog Pants Network.
Sweet. I'm Garrett Art on Twitter, as I've mentioned a few times. Everything I do can be found at amove.tv. My solo show, The Angry Nerd, is still going. It is still direly in need of a name change, but it's still called The Angry Nerd for now. It is still, at the moment, about cocktails. Did an episode recently about Campari and one of Kyle's favorite cocktail names, the Negroni. So go and check that out. And yeah, everything else, Angry Chicken, Into the Nexus, it's all out there. But that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Thank you all for listening. And we will see you next week for a brand new episode of Weak Sauce. Good luck and have fun.
Take care.